Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to The Early Line here on Sirius XM Channel 204. Good morning, I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It is Super Bowl week, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs versus Tom Brady and the Bucks. Kevin, we are getting closer.
Yes, we are. The countdown continues with each passing day. We continue to ask ourselves, will anybody move this darn spread? I mean, this three is sitting there. I'm getting excited because minus 122 juice is now minus 120. The total's still the same as well, but there's a lot of markets to get into, some news around the Super Bowl to get into as well.
Yes, so it broke yesterday that Super Bowl 55 had its first COVID-related issues. Chiefs placed Daniel Kilgore and wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson on the COVID-19 list due to contact tracing. So this is a developing story. But Kevin, after the news broke about some players out due to COVID, somebody tweeted at me and said, but the line didn't change. Can you let our listeners here at Sirius XM know what to expect and when to expect a line change in terms of the Super Bowl?
Well, in terms of line movement related to players being absent, with all due respect to Kilgore and Robinson, it will need to be much more important players than those two, yeah. Or it will need to be a longer list of players than those two. And that will be certainly something for us to follow. Both of these guys under the list of close contacts. So not positive, but within that contract tracing, they'll need to continue to test negative. Both still could play for the Super Bowl. I would say both are still likely to play for the Super Bowl with the way we've seen these things develop. But it is something to note. If you were to make a bet today here, you hear something that we're saying, you know what, I'm on it. I'm on Bucks plus three, whatever it might be. If you make that decision, if anybody comes, you know, in close contact, that's one thing. They can test negative. If any player does test positive from now until before we get to the Super Bowl, they will miss the game no matter what. There's not enough time left. So that's another thing to keep in mind when you're following these lines. If you see a positive test, which is different than a close contact tracing coming back to you, that player with the positive test would be guaranteed to miss the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and imagine just you have the chance to go to the Super Bowl and you get hit with a positive test of COVID. That's the last thing you would ever need. And usually leading up to the Super Bowl, you have a whole media circus. There's a whole hoopla of events. It's super exciting. All the players are amped up. But this year, obviously with COVID-19, not so much. The Chiefs are actually flying in the day before the game. So no distractions for the Chiefs. Meanwhile, Tom Brady commented yesterday that the team cannot get caught up in this happening in their home stadium, given that Tampa Bay will be the first team in NFL history to play the Super Bowl at home. He wants to make sure that the team has no distractions whatsoever, given that there is some media availability down there, but nothing compared to years in the past. Brady said something empowering to think about in media day yesterday. He said, it's a tough game to play in, a tough game to get to, and it's a really tough game to win. What are your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, listen.
I feel like that's a little motivational.
Brady knows what he's doing here at the end of the day. I mean, he's been to no less than 10 billion of these things, and it seems like maybe at this rate he's going to go to 10 billion more. You know, you look at this Bucks roster, not many guys, okay, have ever been to this stage of the game, Erin. That ability to look at 12 and have faith in 12 is so important for this Bucks roster.
And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to SiriusXM Channel 204, The Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're talking about the Super Bowl. And Kevin, many people speculated that Tom Brady without Bill Belichick, he would not be as great without him. But it turns out he threw 5,493 yards this season, including in the playoffs, the fourth most in his career. He kept hitting some of the best in his career. So clearly he can do it without Bill. I'm not trying to get into the Bill versus Tom Brady debate right here, but I think what's interesting is that he is going to the Super Bowl with a different team in his first year playing with the Bucks. So this, following this storyline, as much as it would be great for the Chiefs to repeat, I feel like people might start rooting for Tom Brady a little bit here.
I think that Brady has actually kind of become a little bit, I don't want to say a fan favorite, but he's been a little bit more well-received. Certainly, I think when he left New England, right, known as that evil empire, Brady, you know, has a little bit more fun on social media these days with people. Enjoy.
I look forward to his videos all the time.
Those selfie videos.
Yeah,
with him and Gronk, I mean, that's just A-plus stuff. Like, I don't think there's really anything else you can say about that. However, I also do think people thought when he left for Tampa Bay, they were like, all right, they'll be good, but surely they're not just going to go to the
Super Bowl.
And yet, here we are. Here we are. I think the craziest thing is, and it was coming up all last week, that he has now won as many NFC Conference Championship games as both Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees,
which has to be
demoralizing for both of those guys. And as far as the Brady and Bill thing, listen, it's all different points in their career. Like what Bill Belichick was able to do with a young Tom Brady, who was, I don't want to say a 100%. Game manager, but he's not this Tom Brady. He was not this Tom Brady in those early stages when they won their first couple of Super Bowls. So realistically, they are both as important to that organization as you could imagine. But the perception is different because Tom gets, you know, Gronk out of retirement and AB and Leonard Fournette and all these guys to sign up for Tampa Bay. We recently heard Matthew Stafford said, yeah, trade me anywhere other than New England.
Yeah, Tom Brady is not washed up, and he said he wants to play until he can't play anymore, even past 45. Stay with us here on The Early Line. Next up, we're talking Super Bowl injuries.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It's Super Bowl week. We want to get into the injury report. So Kansas City and Tampa Bay are relatively in good shape, I would say, though there are a few key injuries to keep an eye on. Most notably for the Chiefs, they will be without left tackle Eric Fisher, who tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship. Sammy Watkins has a chance to return for the first time since Week 16. Let's talk about the Chiefs first. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the injury report?
Yeah, I think one of the names, you know, losing Eric Fisher, of course, is difficult. But Sammy Watkins is a guy that I'm really keyed on, in part because Sammy Watkins was awesome for me last year in the Super Bowl in the props market. So I'd love to come back to Sammy. But I also think there's a world in which he's an important player for this team. We know that the Chiefs are going to try and, you know, the Bucs will do everything they can to hone in on Hill and hone in on Kelce. And listen, that is a lot easier said than done, as if these other opponents they haven't been playing haven't tried to hone in on Hill and hone in on Kelce. But they will take what's available to them through the air, and that's what makes them so dangerous. I think Sammy Watkins, if he's out there, could have a great Super Bowl.
And aside from this, Kilgore and Robinson will also be out for the Chiefs due to COVID-19 contact tracing. Now, as for the Bucs, Antonio Brown is iffy to play after missing the NFC Championship with a knee injury. He remains sidelined through the first week of Super Bowl practices, racking up DNPs on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. Tampa Bay classified him as doubtful on Friday's game status report. With that said, Brown still has another week of practice to iron some things out. Do you think he will play in this game?
It doesn't seem likely, which is unfortunate. You know, getting to see AB kind of back on his feet was nice. And, he was playing some good football for this team. You know, he had a touchdown in that opening wild card round game against the Washington football team. And seeing Antonio Brown in the Super Bowl, it would have been a sight to see. You know, a lot of people talking about Pittsburgh Steeler fans having to watch Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell duke it out in the Super Bowl. I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, that was funny. But let's get into more ins and outs of this game a little bit. So there is an edge between these teams. Mahomes against the blitz is one angle, or you could take Bucks on downfield throws and, you know, Tampa Bay's run game, for example. Let's talk about Mahomes against the blitz first. So this absolutely helps the Chiefs, not to mention Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Absolute game changers. Hill averaged 2 downfield targets per game and 1 in the end zone while averaging 100 air yards per game and 141 receiving yards. Kelce averaged 4 in the red zone and 113.5 receiving yards. Now, Mahomes against the blitz is good. Is this their edge, Kevin?
Well, I think for Patrick Mahomes, the ability to just beat every single coverage is why he is accepted as the best quarterback in the game. But against the blitz, he is bar none the best quarterback in the league. The efficiency to which he attacks the blitz, to where he gets the football off, finds the open man, is really unmatched throughout this league. So it's going to put Todd Bowles in a situation where he's going to need to try and get home with 4. You know, meaning JPP and Shaq Barrett and Vita Vea and Dominguez Sue. And that's a great 4 to have. That's about as good of a 4 as you could ask for. But that's what it's going to need to be. Because against the blitz, it really seems like you're walking up a mountain. And really, that you're never actually going to find the top of because of how good Mahomes is versus that blitz.
Yeah, Mahomes actually talked about Todd Bowles yesterday in the media. Let's hear what he had to say.
It seems like he plays a different coverage in different ways every single play. And so it's a battle. You want to make sure that you get as many tells as you can to try to recognize what he's doing and all the different coverages he's calling. But at the end of the day, you have to have plays that are good versus everything and that you can find answers and have answers kind of after the snap and right before the snap when they finally show you exactly what they're going to give you and the coverage that they're going to give you on that play.
Thanks to SiriusXM NFL Radio for that clip. Like he said, this is a battle, Kevin.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And he also talked about being prepared for the different looks that Todd Bowles and this defense is going to throw at him. I think the primary look will involve that 2-deep coverage, keeping guys as back as far as possible and trying to not let Tyreek Hill have 269 receiving yards and 2 first quarter
that
touchdowns.
Was wild.
But at the end of the day,
3 touchdowns in that
game. They used that. It was preposterous. But here's the deal: they used that coverage a bunch, as much as they possibly could against Mahomes in that Week 12 meeting. Well, Patrick Mahomes only went 23 of 28 for 216 yards. I mean, he ripped it apart. Last week against the Bills, they tried that 2-deep safety look. How'd that go for them? Patrick Mahomes, 11 of 13 for 104 yards against those 2-deep looks. At the end of the day, if Mahomes is on, you better hope Brady and the boys give you 40 because Mahomes is going to get 35.
Yeah, it's going to be, honestly, we're expecting it to be a shootout. And a lot of money is coming in on the over, 56.5, but that line still hasn't moved. But I do believe that it will be a shootout. But let's get to the Bucs now. So Brady on downfield throws. Throwing the ball is a huge part of the Bucs offense. Brady has thrown 13 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, but the Chiefs can stop that, being ranked 4th best in the league on allowing opposing QBs per attempt downfield. Only 6.2% of such throws led to a touchdown, the 8th lowest rate in the league. Do you think the Chiefs can stop Brady from throwing downfield?
Well, I think that's going to be one of the keys to the game. Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, these are the deep threats for this team. Look, even Mike Evans can get down the field, but it's more those contested catches. And We've talked about this when it comes to Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what happened, you know, but Mahomes has lost 9 games in his career. Apparently the only game that anybody watched was against the Indianapolis Colts, where they lost the game 19-13, but Mahomes was hobbled, and I don't even think Tyreek played in the football game. Against Patrick Mahomes, 8 of the 9 times the game where they lost, the winning team scored 29 or more. They averaged 36 points per game, the teams that beat Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, they better be firing it down the field. That's the path to success.
And also a path that could be success for Tampa Bay is the run game. They're one of the best adjusted run game defenses in the league, while the Chiefs are one of the worst. So the Bucs could stand to benefit from going away from their pass-heavy game plan and take advantage of their matchup on the ground. Brady could potentially lean on Leonard Fournette. He had this to say at Media Day yesterday.
Lenny's been a huge addition, to this team, and his role as a first and second down back, but also a third down back, which it's really hard to find those guys in the NFL, the guys that can play all three downs. And he really relishes that role, not just in the run game, catching the football, but pass protection as well.
And thanks to SiriusXM NFL Radio for that clip. So Fournette, like you said, good on all three downs. Without AB and using the run game, this is something that the Bucs can really take advantage of, especially if they aren't able to throw downfield, Kevin.
Yeah, and I think for the Bucs, it's going to be a matter of when they run the football, making sure they do it at the right moments. Listen, the Bucs ranked 10th in DVOA running the football. The Chiefs were 31st against the run in DVOA. So it is a weakness, but again, running the football is just not as efficient, right? Oh, we're doing great on the ground, 4.5 yards per carry, right? That's awesome. Oh, Brady's doing great through the air, 8.5 yards per attempt. Like, it's always more efficient to throw than run, but the run can be used at opportune moments. One of the other moments we could see that, short yardage situations, although a small sample size, 24 plays this year where the Bucs have ran the football in a short yardage situation, converting 87.5% of the time. Pair that with the Chiefs defense, which has been one of the worst in the league in stopping short runs for conversions, allowing those teams to convert 82.9% of the time. So that'll be something to watch. When you see those third and twos, it very well could be a great opportunity for the Bucs to pick it up with Leonard Fournette and extend those drives.
Yep. And aside from these strategies, one other thing I want to mention before the break is special teams. This often gets overlooked in the regular season, but a magnifying glass comes down for the Super Bowl. If this does come down to a field goal, who do you trust more, Ryan Succop or Harrison Butker?
I trust Butker more. Butker with a career year, making over 92% of his field goals. He has only missed one vote so far for this postseason. So I trust Butker, but you don't want to leave it to the kickers ever.
Stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're talking props.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It's Super Bowl week, which is such a fun event because it's basically a sports betting holiday at this point. There are so many markets, so many props. Kevin and I are going to get into our two favorite props. I know last night I texted you guys that somebody on the FanDuel Sportsbook already put $5,000 on the coin toss. They chose heads. It'd be a total payout of over $9,000, which is so crazy. But Kevin and I are going to give our two favorite. Kevin, I'll go first. Starting off, I like Tyreek Hill receiving yards over 92.5. I know I'm going with the player prop here. I like this because in the Chiefs divisional round against the Browns, Tyreek Hill caught 8 passes for 110 yards in the conference championship. He exploded for 172 yards on 9 catches, marking his third straight postseason game with more than 100 receiving yards. Then when they played the Bucs in week 12, Hill had one of his best games of his career. He had 269 yards, 3 scores on 13 touches through the air. No one could stop him. I think in this game they're going to use him to their advantage.
I agree. I love it. I think this is a spot where the book finds themselves in a difficult position. They cannot set a player's number high enough. If they post 105.5, be ridiculous, right? Although if they posted 105.5, I think I probably would still take Tyreek Hill to the over. So far in the playoffs, he's had 110 yards against the Browns and 172 yards against the Buffalo Bills. He went over that number with another 100-yard receiving game in last year's Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. Oh, and by the way, when he played the Bucs in Week 12, he had 269 receiving yards. I understand that the Bucs are going to say, we are not going to let this guy beat us. But that, like, that's great in theory. We're not going to let this guy beat us. First of all, he's the fastest guy on the field. He still can beat double coverage, right? Second of all, it's not like Andy Reid doesn't know how to get Tyreek Hill open when a team is doing everything they can to shut down Tyreek Hill. And it's not like Andy Reid's going to go, ah, what can I do? You're focused on Tyreek. I guess we'll let you win. No! Tyreek Hill is, of course, going to be a part of this game plan here for the Kansas City Chiefs. All the numbers say over. I like it. Tyreek Hill, 92.5 yards.
Yeah, and as the week goes on, this is a number that could potentially be bet up because it's a more traditional market in my eyes. People are used to betting on the anytime touchdown, first touchdown score, receiving yards, passing yards, and whatnot, compared to some of the other niche markets that are available for the Super Bowl. But let's hear your one of your top props.
Yeah, so one of the numbers I wanted to throw out there to people, and again, I want to try and dabble in some of these markets that are only available because it is the Super Bowl. And the total yards... total yardage of all the touchdowns combined, 121.5. This is, again, a market you only see for the Super Bowl. So if it's new for the book, it's new for us. That's okay. Fair is fair is fair. And I'm going through some research on this prop, and I'm trying to figure out where to lean. You know, this year's Chiefs playoff games, this year's Saints, Bucks playoff games, last year's Super Bowl. Here's the reality of it all. This year, when these two teams played, the Chiefs, on their own, had 139 total touchdown yards. On their own, they had 139 total touchdown yards. The Bucs chipped in 75 total touchdown yards. So they cleared this number, okay, by almost a full 100 yards. I can't leave that on the table. I understand that the Super Bowl.
I think
can
you
be
found
different.
A jackpot.
But it's
you might have found
the
jackpot here.
Numbers. I'm glad you think so. It's one of those numbers they can't post too high, Aaron. Like they.
Yeah.
Come on, like they had over 240, like 210 yards of total.
And like
touchdown
you said, these markets
the
are new to everybody. These markets are new to the bookmakers. They're new to us, so they're. You know, we can't go back and look at the last couple of games and say, oh, this is what happened in that. But you brought up some great relevant information. I think this is a very interesting market. And one, sometimes in these prop markets, you have to go deep dive into the website to find some of these.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different tabs, and that's one of the things that you and I have talked a lot about, one of making sure we give our listener and watcher at home is going through all of these markets, and by the time we get to Friday, we'll have turned over a lot of stones, and maybe we'll try and, you know, pile it together a nice, neat list. Okay, here's what we like. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. But honestly, there's so many markets, we probably won't even get to everything by Friday. I think we'll do our absolute best. Yeah. But these are the type of things that I want to see as well early in the week to see if there is movement. You know, that's what we've been trying to figure out in these past couple shows here, Aaron. How much will these lines move as we get closer and closer to the Super Bowl?
Yep, and we'll expect them to move. But like you said, there's so many markets. Some are great value and others are not, such as will a QB score? There was one yesterday was like minus 460. I'm blanking on what the market was. But you're obviously not going to bet into a market like that unless you feel really confident on the other side. But let's get into another prop that I like. It's a defensive prop. First quarterback to be sacked. Mahomes has been sacked just once in the postseason. Tom Brady has been 5 times in 3 playoff games. I like Tom Brady, but I'm going with him at plus 100 here. I also feel he's fine with being sacked. I mean, no quarterback's fine with just being sacked, but he just takes the sack, gets up, doesn't get frustrated. He's, I feel like, kind of accustomed to it at this point, but it doesn't mess up his game plan or anything like that. So I'm going with him to be sacked first.
I think it's interesting. It checks in at even money. You would think that Mahomes' mobility would give him the edge. You look at when they met in their first go-around, and Mahomes was the more sacked quarterback. But again, that's where we've talked about kind of this balance of that first. And it wasn't by much. I think Brady was only sacked once, and Mahomes was sacked twice, right? It wasn't by much. This is going to be so fascinating here. How often these teams can get to the opposing quarterback. Tom Brady, I believe they said the fastest all year long that he got rid of the football was that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, trying to get rid of that ball as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. We know that, again, we've talked about it for Tampa Bay, trying to get home with four, less blitzes, because if you blitz, Mahomes will make you pay almost every single time. I think it's a fascinating market, and I like a little leave of money.
All right, let's hear your last prop. We're each given two here.
Yeah, I figured we would keep it defense, right? At the end of the day, we're still dabbling. Now, you can bet props like this sometimes during the season, but I know many won't. But I wanted to see who possibly provided an edge. And I thought the linebacker Devin White for the Tampa Bay Bucs out of LSU was someone to look at. You know, Devin White is just a really really good football player. And Devin White is one of the most important defensive players that the Tampa Bay Bucs have to offer. Lavonta David, who's their other middle linebacker, was a little bit banged up, a little bit during the week. He's going to play, but that pushed me to Devin White even more so because he might be quicker to the football than his counterpart in Lavonta David. But also during this postseason, the two games that Devin White has played, 11 and 15 total tackles. Date this all the way back to the regular season. He's gone over this number in four consecutive games, five of his last six, with one of those coming against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he recorded 12 total tackles. He is a tackle machine, and over 9.5 feels like a good play.
Yeah, I like both of those, and I think we both said over on everything, so I feel like you don't want to bet the under on the Super Bowl either way. But I loved your picks. I'm looking right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, just at their props tab. You have QB props, TD scoring, points, gameplay, running back props, wide receiver props, defense props, penalty props, coin toss, kick, punt. Out of all of these, I guess, tabs that you could dabble in, is there any that you really like? Are you betting more on the QBs? Are you going with the running backs, the wide receivers? Is there anything that you feel of value?
I think so. I'm going to kind of take your question in another direction. The penalty props is the market that I am most fascinated by, but I have yet to make any kind of bets on or leans on because it is so different. The FanDuel Sportsbook does not offer you penalty props during any other game other than the Super Bowl. Like, of all the things that we're talking about, right, you can get tackles plus assists. You can maybe not total touchdown yards. You can get longest touchdown, right, things like that. You do not get penalty props from the FanDuel Sportsbook. And look at how many there are. Combined penalty
KC
yards.
Total penalty yards.
The Chiefs, the Bucs. I mean, this list is
so
long.
Many.
Will there be a roughing the passer penalty? And then you have some of those like kind of wonky ones, right? First accepted penalty will be against who? First accepted penalty will be what? False start, holding, unnecessary roughness, or any other, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's some good but value
again,
on these.
Like these are,
but I feel like it's really a gamble.
If you sit down and you put the effort into it, and again, like that's why we're doing this on Tuesday. We're going to continue to do it as we go throughout the week here. And at some point, I'm going to sit down and dive a little bit deeper into these penalty props. And you know what? It turns out that the Chiefs, they commit a lot of holding penalties. Plus 250 on the hold. Boom, put it in there. Oh, looks like the Bucs have been having issues with false starts. Bang, slap it down.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things that we're going to see. Maybe there is an edge out there. Maybe not. There's 1,000 options on the board. We're going to try and look at all of them.
Yeah, we talked yesterday on the phone about how you have to look and deep dive for this information to bet on some of these markets. Mm-hmm. But coming back after the break, we're going to be talking about some of the QB question marks that are still lingering.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome Welcome back to The Early Line on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. There are still some QB question marks around the league, and by some, I mean many. This weekend, a blockbuster trade happened that was announced between two former number one overall picks. Detroit is dealing Matthew Stafford to the Rams in exchange for two future first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Jared Goff. Let me give you an update on some new QB developments. Dolphins Tua believes he can be the Miami Dolphins franchise QB, but he knows he still has to prove it. He's coming off a rookie season where he went 6-3 with 64.1% completion, 14 total touchdowns, 5 interceptions. My problem here, Kevin, lies with that, yes, he does have to prove it, but, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick would come in the fourth quarter and kind of help him out if he was having a bad game.
I think the thing for Tua is people weren't even sure if this guy was going to be healthy enough to play this year. So the fact that he played, I feel like, should be a positive thing. Was he great? No. Was he good?
Agreed.
Probably not even good. But he had some moments. That game against Arizona in Arizona where he outdueled Kyler Murray, that happened. That's for real. You can't take that away from Tua. Okay. I also felt like the locker room bought into Tua as well. You saw it in that first game against the Rams where they beat that team. They were loving themselves some Tua Tagovailoa. So I do believe that they should be patient with this kid. Otherwise, why in the world did you draft him? I mean, you made this guy your franchise quarterback with the fifth overall pick, and you're going to move on already? That is just shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's speculation for the second consecutive year on who's going to be the quarterback. He did say in his heart and in his mind he hopes that he is the franchise QB. Do you believe that for the Dolphins he is the franchise QB in the future?
So, and let me say, I do believe so. Although, as much as I'm kind of saying I can't believe they're having this conversation, it does feel like it's a conversation entirely born out of Deshaun Watson's availability, right? I think. I don't know.
Here we go.
Maybe they would consider
drafting
someone.
Down the Deshaun Watson rabbit hole.
Well, that's the reason why Tua was on the move, right? Or is it not? I think that's the big thing for me here when it comes to this Dolphins organization. Are they moving Tua because of Watson, or do they really already want out of Tua? The first one, I'm fine with. The second one, that's too much.
Yeah, and I mean, do you think that they do draft a QB in this upcoming draft and keep him, or do you think that Deshaun Watson makes more sense? I know his odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook keep increasing Deshaun Watson to go to Miami, so we were thinking maybe that wasn't going to happen just based on the odds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, anything can happen, but we keep talking about with Deshaun Watson, we're not going to know a definitive answer for weeks, maybe hopefully before the draft, but potentially after the draft. It doesn't seem like this is going to be done overnight.
I think it's a great question. How much time and research are the Dolphins putting into this year's quarterback class? I mean, look, you always want to take a look, but I think it would be ridiculous for them to draft a quarterback. And then what? And then Tua battles it out with Zach Wilson for the starting job?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I just think that's ridiculous, and I hope that's not their plan of attack. Again, Deshaun Watson, one of the five best quarterbacks in football, if you're able to make him your franchise quarterback, I understand moving on from Tua Tagovailoa. Okay, I truly, truly do. But outside of that, it's far too soon. Far too soon.
Agreed. And it'll be interesting to see where Ryan Fitzpatrick goes. And maybe they'll even, you know, the Dolphins will take Devonta Smith, even though I'm kind of rooting for the Eagles to take him. But I doubt that'll happen. He'll go before us. Let's also get to Aaron Rodgers. So the Packers said they don't feel that they need to reassure Aaron Rodgers that he will be their quarterback in 2021 and beyond. But they said this in the news conference to reiterate their commitment to him. Matt LaFleur, he sounded confident on Rodgers when asked about his future. He responded, "Is that a trick question? Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. You're talking about the guy that's going to win the MVP of the league." So they're expecting Rodgers to come out and play like he did this season.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny how this has all developed here. Everybody saying the right things, making us all seem, they're all making us seem like
we're crazy after making assumptions.
Entertaining. Listen, at the end of the day, Rodgers made some calculated comments, but maybe they weren't calculated.
For sure.
Okay? But I don't think that's the case. Like, Aaron Rodgers really thinks after winning MVP, the Packers were going to kick him out? No, they weren't. You know you hold the cards. You know that, Aaron Rodgers. And ultimately, okay, you want to stay. And if you want to stay, then you're going to stay. But this is not about the Packers brass saying, we've had enough of the old man. Let's move on from Aaron Rodgers. No, it's about Rodgers texting Deshaun Watson saying, hey, pal, where'd you get the trade request form? I can't seem to find my email. Like, that's what we're talking about here. And if Rodgers isn't going to do that, then yeah, the Packers quarterback will be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and he's coming off his best season with 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He led the Packers to their second straight NFC title game. They went 13-3, so he had an awesome season. So I'm excited for him to be back with the Packers. But so many things are just playing out, I feel like, in these press conferences. And one team to note with press conferences is the Philadelphia Eagles. We're both Philadelphia Eagles fans, so I'm sure we'll get heated in this. But Nick Sirianni, the new head coach, said he can't answer whether quarterback Carson Wentz will be on the team in 2021, as he's in the process of evaluating things. He said this in his first press conference. It did not come off well. We'll get into the reaction of that. But just your overall thoughts on this being the first thing that comes out of his mouth in a press conference. And I mean, we were thinking that this would be a great move for Carson Wentz. So for him to say this, it was very surprising to me.
Man, I have no idea what's going on. I've been trying to figure this out. Ultimately, I didn't that Nick Sirianni... I'm being honest. I wasn't of the mindset that Sirianni showing up automatically guaranteed us that it was going to be Wentz and Sirianni forever reunited. This is going to be great. Sirianni knows Reich and Reich knows Wentz and we'll live happily ever after. No, I didn't think that was going to be the case. I still think Carson Wentz can be moved on from. And I understand, again, you know, we have to try and remember these press conferences. Like, these guys have to keep certain things close to the vest. It's not like he's going to come out and say, oh, no, Wentz is shot. This dude's terrible. You guys can get him for a bag of bones. We'll send you some assets if you want.
But the assumption was that he was in to have Wentz, to help him, because of that relationship that was strained during the 2020 season. That's why it was so surprising to hear that. I mean, you make a great point, though, that things are kept close to the vest.
I think it's interesting to note that, like, so our assumptions as, you know, media/fans is one thing, but I have no sense of what was talked about in that room with Sirianni and Howie Roseman. None. I don't know if they want Wentz. I don't know if they want to go with Jalen Hurts. I have no idea what this team's plan of attack is. They are a gazillion dollars over the cap, so they're going to have to get creative in that way and move on from some players probably that you and I don't want to see go for sentimental reasons, maybe more than the actual level of play they could bring to the field. But really, everything starts with the quarterback. We know this. Yep. I think it should be Jalen Hurts. And I say this as someone who likes Carson Wentz significantly more than you. But to me, he ran his clock out last year in Philly. He didn't handle things well. And I think a split would be best for both parties.
Yeah, and I mean, the main issue was the communication between him and Doug Peterson. But what's interesting, and I don't want to dissect completely everything that Sirianni said. Look, he said that he was nervous in it. He was in a room by himself, just standing there like a deer in headlights, answering questions from people virtually. But he did say, what we need to do is evaluate the entire roster. He said this on Friday. Then he said, we have two quarterbacks in Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts that are top-notch quarterbacks. A lot of teams don't have any. So just really excited to work with both of them. So first you say, we want to evaluate the entire roster, but then in the next breath, you're like, I'm so excited to work with both of them. So I don't really know what their plan of attack is. I know, like you said, they're not going to come out and just say exactly what they're planning on doing, but I just think after, you know, the fractured relationship with Doug Peterson and just everything that's gone on around the Eagles, and I feel like I keep seeing more and more articles surfacing about Wentz's attitude, and I don't know if that's because Doug Peterson was fired, but just saying how egotistical he was in the locker room and just that the Eagles organization basically stroked his ego. I know Malcolm Jenkins came out and said something about that. So I thought that was interesting, and it just, to me, the reaction was so bad to that press conference. And then on top of that, he basically just made a joke about it, which is fine. That's an easy way to lighten it up. But it's just like, this isn't a joke. Like, the Eagles organization needs to be turned around.
Yeah, it does. I felt with that Sirianni press conference, personally, I was annoyed with the jokes that a lot of people made about his stumbling during answering some of those questions. I understand that, you know, these guys are professionals and you want them to, you know, deliver everything coherently as possible. But, yeah, I mean, the guy is a 39-year-old making his debut as a head coach. He stumbles over some words. Yeah. some words. I had no intention of taking him to task or some Eagles fans trying to renounce their fandom. Good riddance. Hit the bricks. Go figure out what you want to do elsewhere. Don't need you. Never need you.
They're the worst Eagles fans.
You and Nelson Aguilar can go somewhere because those are people that I don't want a part of this group. So I just, at the end of the day, listen, we'll see what happens with Sirianni. Was he my first choice? No, he wasn't even a choice. I didn't even really consider that this guy was going to be an option. Would I be a lot happier right now if Eric Bieniemy was still yet to make his debut press conference because he's busy coaching in the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year? Yeah, that would have been that would have made me a lot happier. That's not the cards that we've been handed here as Eagles fans. Mm-hmm. But really, for bettors as a whole, so next week at this time, you will be able to bet on who is going to win next year's Super Bowl. We know this. This is what happens. The Super Bowl ends. Yep. They post next year's Super Bowl markets, and everybody
talks
about
it. It'll actually happen during the Super Bowl. I know that FanDuel is planning
probably
on having those odds up. So this is something to note for sure with these quarterback changes.
When those things come out, I always look at, you know, who's the favorites? Where are the Eagles? Oh, look at this. They're the third team in the NFC. Like, I'm going to look at where the Eagles are. And I, at the end of the day, now, I would probably never bet the Eagles a year out from the Super Bowl anyway.
Agreed.
But if I were so inclined to, I definitely would it under these circumstances because I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. And that would be crazy to bet on a team to win the Super Bowl and not know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, and it's crazy on the futures market. There's so much that happens between now and next season. I mean, I think the Eagles were projected 6th or 7th in the futures market last year, and then look at the season they had. It was completely disastrous. I think they were behind the Cowboys, who also had a disastrous season. The NFC East was completely terrible. Maybe the NFC East future markets is something to look into, considering you're going to assume where some of these teams land. But just overall betting the futures market is going to be difficult because this year there are so many QB question marks. It stems from Ben Roethlisberger. We saw Jared Goff, he's going to Detroit. You have Matthew Stafford, he's going to the Rams. So we found out two at least. But you also have the Dolphins. You have what's going to happen with the Texans, the Eagles, Big Ben. There's so many QB question marks, and it's just a matter of time for when they come out. But it might be weeks, it might be months. They might start their season and there's a big trade. It's not going to happen overnight like the big blockbuster trade that happened this weekend.
100%. And the only thing I would say to those out there, if you really, really are like, listen, I need to get a piece of this market now, call your shot with where Deshaun Watson goes. Outside of that, I mean, do you really need to put any of these numbers in your pocket now? I doubt it.
Agreed. Stay with us here on the Early Line. You're listening to SiriusXM Channel 204. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It is time for our segment called Make Your Case. Now, the NBA MVP market has been wild. Lots of movement. None of the top three preseason favorites are even in the top three right now. Kevin, make your case for the NBA MVP.
I absolutely love this market. Listen, I've been making my case all year for LeBron. Job done. This guy's up to the favorite. But it doesn't mean you cannot continue to add to your portfolio. Hopefully you have LeBron at that preseason 15-1. Maybe you got it at 8 or 7 to 1. No problem, right? But you can always add a couple of more pieces to really corner this market. When you mentioned it, Erin, that top three is spot on. LeBron, Jokic, Embiid, that's your top three in some order. But I believe there's still some value on the board, and I'm going to make the case for Kawhi Leonard, who is right now 36-1 to win the NBA MVP. Whew. He is the 10th option on the FanDuel Sportsbook, despite being on the best team in the NBA. And we know that's valuable when it comes to this award. Best player on the best team right now, Kawhi does fit that description. He's also having an incredible season, averaging 26 points per game, 5 boards and 5.5 assists, getting it done efficiently as well, a true shooting percentage well above 60%, but also some of those catch-all stats that give you an idea of where this guy ranks. Win shares, right? What is that? Helping your team win basketball games. Kawhi Leonard is second in the NBA. Second. How about a stat like box score plus minus? He's sixth. Who's in front of him? Jokic, LeBron, Embiid. The other two guys in front of him are Doncic. His team's 5 games below .500. And CJ McCollum. Kawhi Leonard right now should be fourth on this board. He is 10th. That's value. That's my case for Kawhi Leonard at 36-1.
You made some great points. You definitely made your case. The only preseason favorite on the board now currently sits in fourth. LeBron moved up from front runner after sitting in ninth. So lots of movements on this market. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk Super Bowl and some more NBA.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.